Good morning.
Do you notice anything different? Isn't it beautiful, church? Isn't it beautiful? I'd like to thank Jeff and Chris Roberts and all those that helped in getting this done. Thank you for facilitating the work.
George,
and Chris,
George,
George, stand up. You guys, stand up. Stand up. It's beautiful. And it was Joan Curry's vision. I had thought about doing something different, but my mind was, the wooden plaques that are really popular now, the pallet wood, but stone's gonna last forever, right? When I look at this wall, I think of it as a wall of remembrance. All the saints that have gone before us, that have left us with funds that contribute to our church, that are to go to contribute to our worship. That is what made this possible. And we remember them when we look up here, when we're worshiping, when we're praising, as we lift up their memory. And thanks be to God, because it is, the foundations, the pillars of our church that have gone, and there are great clouds of witnesses. That's this wall. So thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for the leadership that is taken to make this possible.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. We've got announcements on Saturday, May 11th at 4. Chris Roberts and Tina would like to host a pizza party and play date for the kiddos. We'd like to invite all the families that were part of our Easter egg hunt out to Vesper Hills for fun time, getting to know one another, fellowship, and we have lots of areas to play at Vesper Hills. So I'm gonna get that flyer done. You're invited. You're also invited to contribute to that monetarily. So just mark if you want to give to that, just mark on the offering envelopes that you're wanting it to go to the pizza party. So that's going to be Saturday, May 11th at 4, and I'll have flyers done so you can have those and also pass those out. Also, we have a lot of prayer requests this morning. Charlie Rhodes is in the hospital. He's having some issues with his heart, so please keep Charlie and Kathy Rhodes in your prayers this morning. Also, Marcia's brother and Brad are needing prayers. They're not able to get Brad's blood pressure and oxygen where it needs to be. So he is at the James. So continue to pray for them. Tina Davis had her surgery on her foot, and it's going to be a long recovery for Tina. So keep her in your prayer. I know a lot of us are going to be going over this afternoon to visit with her. After she's released from the hospital, she's going to be going into a rehab facility to help her with the recovery of her foot. So keep Tina in your prayer. Continue to pray for Pastor Jeff and Tina. He is making every week, sometimes every day, improvements. Tina's been so faithful in keeping us updated on Facebook. He still has some more improvements to do. So continue to pray for Pastor Jeff and Tina. I know one of her posts, it's coming to the time where she's supposed to be returning back to work. Returning back to work for Tina is online. She does interpreting, telecommunication interpreting. She may be at home, but she's still not able to attend to the needs of Pastor Jeff as she's doing it. So she's got some hard decisions to make. And so as you pray for Pastor Jeff and Tina, just pray for wisdom. Pray for the Lord's guidance during this time, that they make the decisions according to what the Lord would want them to make. I know it's a tough decision for her, and impactful. That's an impactful decision. So keep them in your prayer. One big prayer request is Jerusalem, Israel. Pray for peace in Jerusalem. May all who love this city prosper. O Jerusalem, May there be peace within your walls and prosperity in your palaces. For the sake of my family and friends, I will say, may you have peace. For the sake of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek what is best for you, O Jerusalem. So we lift up the apple of God's eye this morning. We cannot turn a blind eye that Jerusalem, that Israel, everything centers around what happens. And as the people of God, called by his name, we are called to pray for Jerusalem. We are called to pray for Israel. Let's not forget that this morning. Let's not forget that the rest of this time. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Lord, in a society that has lost its way, we come this morning to hear from you through your holy word, to bring light and truth into our lives. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Open our hearts, open our minds and our spirits to receive from you. Open our mouths, Lord. Open our mouths to worship and praise you. Worship and praise is not silent. We can't sit and be quiet when it comes to our worship and praise. Your word says that. You tell us to pray for your holy people, and we lift up Israel and Jerusalem to you. And we call out your name, Jehovah Jireh, our Lord provider, Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace, and El Shaddai, Lord Almighty. Lord, you call Jerusalem the cup of trembling. And in your word, it says that any nation that comes up against Jerusalem, you will destroy. Their hands that hold the cup will tremble in fear of you, and nothing they can do will stop it. And it's not that we need to remind you what your word says. It is that we come and we stand on the truths of your word, and that we as the people that are gathered together in your name hold true to that word that is spoken by you. So this morning, let us cling to the word that you have given us. Let it be a light unto our steps. Let it be written on our hearts. As we leave this place, to carry it out to our loved ones, to carry it out to this community that need to hear it so much, and let them find salvation through us, through Jesus Christ, that we call our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Who's ready to praise and worship this morning? We got some good songs on our bulletin, people. And when we say that praise is not silent, we should be filling up this sanctuary with the sounds of our praise. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Our greeting today is taken from 2 Corinthians 5, verses 14 and 15. For Christ's love compels us, but we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we come here today to worship you. We come here today to realize that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that you are here with us in the sanctuary, sitting beside us, attaining to all of our needs, no matter what they are. People hold things inside them, but you know our hearts, and you search for them, and you take care of them. And you comfort us in all of our needs. You allow us to give something back to you. But it's not just back to you so that we can do pretty things, but it's back to you so that we can worship you and spread the word of God throughout the universe to everyone in need so they can come to you. So bless these gifts today. Allow it to do its purpose on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So how many of you out there saw the eclipse? And it was on my birthday even, you know? The eclipse was there, but you know what?
Happy birthday!
Thank you, thank you. Yeah, I became an old man, he just became another year older. That's the only difference. Anyways, the eclipse was wonderful. And you know what made the eclipse even better? That even though in parts of this country, they had total darkness, because of it. And it reminded me of when darkness overcame the earth, when Christ was crucified on that cross. But you know what? The light came back. 3 days later when Jesus rose from the dead, right? Just like the eclipse. It didn't stay there that long. And it started back up and the brightness shined in the sky. And you can't douse his light. Amen? You know, Daniel never prayed for the lions to go away. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego never prayed for the fire to go away. David never prayed for the giant to go away. It's almost like they knew. In the midst of my lack and in the midst of my pain, God began to show up and God begins to bring glory to the situation. It's almost like they said, God, don't take it away, but teach me something in the midst of it. May God help us every day to pray, teach me, guide me, and use me instead of just make it go away. Think about that. God can do anything and he can take it away. But God's glory is given so much more when he allows us to go through it and persevere from it. And we can give God the glory for all those things. Amen. Let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible," and ask God to help us today and each day this week to dig into his Bible and to find out what all God does for us every day and what he's promised for us for eternity. Amen. Let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible." This is my Bible. It contains the Word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen.
Beyond Easter is what we're looking at this morning. When it was evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were gathered together with the door locked because they feared the Jews. Jesus came, stood among them, and said to them, "Peace be with you." And having said this, he showed them his hands and his side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And after saying this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them. And when Jesus came, so the other disciples were telling him, "We've seen the Lord." But he said to them, "If I don't see the mark of the nails on his hands, put my finger into the mark of the nails, put my hand in his side, I will never believe." A week later, his disciples were indoors again and Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came in and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here. Look at my hands. Reach out with your hand and put it into my side. Don't be faithless, but believe." And Thomas responded to him, "My Lord, my God." Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Amen. And may God have a blessing of the reading of his word this morning. So,
this tree is over 300 feet tall, estimated to be at least 600 years old. And that's nothing. There are trees towering over this forest that were just seedlings when Christ was walking on the earth. How deep do you think the roots are on a tree like this? 100 feet? 1,000 feet? The truth is, a tree this tall can't grow roots deep enough to support itself. That is why redwoods have intertwining roots. They support one another. These trees literally do for each other, but they can't do alone. I think Jesus demonstrated that same mindset for us, that we're all in this together, supporting one another. I mean, think about it. He never just passed somebody by, leaving them stuck. Jesus was constantly intertwining his life with those he came in contact with. He called people out of obscurity to join him in this journey of changing the world. He healed a blind man with mud. He restored a chronically ill outcast with merely the hem of his garment. He renewed one woman's hope for second chances and reminded a Pharisee of his need for mercy instead of morality. Jesus' ministry was constantly intertwined with people, connecting with them on the most intimate levels and changing their lives forever. Jesus called his followers to love people the way that he loved them, to bring health to the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, touch the untouchables, and as you have been treated generously, so live generously. And that call hasn't expired. Yeah. His charge to the church is just as clear today as ever. Therefore, may we be rooted in Christ, intertwined with one another, so that we may continue his mission.
We are the church. We are God's people. Amen. How often have we heard people, maybe our friends, maybe it's our loved ones, explain to us why they think going to church or having a church family is not necessary? I don't need to go to church. I don't need to be part of a church in order to be a Christian. They may tell us that they love the Lord, they believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't believe in organized religion. And some people have convinced themselves that you don't need to be part of a church, that there might be some that have a difficult and painful experience with the church. And that is true. We can't dismiss those. It happens. Unfortunately, sometimes God's people, sometimes the church can be hurtful. It's not the way Jesus intended it. That's not the way God intended it. And I'm not taking away from that at all. But I also challenge it, because so did Jesus. Jesus had the worst church experience in all human history, don't you think? When he was teaching in the synagogue amongst his own people in Nazareth, isn't this Joseph's son? They didn't accept him. And that same day, his own friends, his own family, those that he grew up with, brought him to the edge of the hill of their own town that it was built on, intending to hurl him over a cliff because they did not believe what he was saying, that he was the Messiah, that he was the prophesied one that was to come to fulfill what God had said. The church was also trying to catch Jesus up. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, were always after Jesus, lying on him, twisting his words, discrediting him, jealous of him. Church people! The ones that should have known better. And the most horrendous act in all of church history was against Jesus. When the church, the elders, the chief priests, the scribes, bribed Judas, betrayed Jesus, brought him into a trial in front of the Sanhedrins, the Jewish leaders, bribing witnesses to speak falsely against him, and then turned him over to Pilate to be crucified, to die. Nevertheless, Jesus built the church. No matter what his past experience was with a religious organization, he built the church. He told his disciples in the Gospel of Matthew, upon this rock, I will build my church. And the word that he used for rock was a collection of rocks knitted together to form a large slab. And it's a Greek word, petrio, petria, P-E-T-R-A, petria. Many rocks, that word was used here. Not just one rock, many rocks. Jesus' church would be made up of his unified followers who confess him as Christ, the Son of the living God. And it says that the gates of hell will never overpower it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom, Jesus said, the kingdom to heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Yes, there can be bad experiences. Jesus is a testimony of that, but he also built it to what it should be, what it should look like, who we are to be, part of it. In John chapter 20, we're starting on our road beyond Easter. And Jesus has been crucified on Friday. The sacrifice for the sin of all humanity for our salvation has been complete. Jesus said on the cross, "Tetelestai, it is finished." And now it's Sunday. The first instructions that Jesus gives after his resurrection was to Mary Magdalene, a woman. I like to point that out every time I can. First person to hear the news that Jesus was raised from the dead. The first person to go tell the news to the boys was a woman. "Go to my brothers and tell them, I am going to Galilee." Now, Jesus wanted to find them, and he thought to himself, it shouldn't be too hard to find them. I told them where I was going to go before I died. I told them at the Passover. I told them, I'm going to go ahead of you to Galilee. But, you know, we miss a lot, don't we? When God, you know, we get caught up on some of the details that maybe we shouldn't get caught up on. So he just tells Mary, go find them. If they're not where they're supposed to be, tell them I'm going to Galilee, like I said. He knew it shouldn't have taken much for Mary to find them. He knows where they should be. Go back there and wait for me. He commands and instructs them. It was evening, where it says, on the first day of the week. It's Sunday. The disciples were there, gathered together, and Jesus is in the room. I'm going to repeat that. It was Sunday. Jesus' disciples are gathered in a room, and Jesus is there. But one of them's not. One of them, it says, Thomas wasn't there. Thomas is not with them. For some reason, Thomas made a decision that Sunday not to come to this small church gathering. Because that's what this is. This is the first small church gathering after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And he decided he wasn't going to be there. It'd been a long week, you see. A lot had happened. There was a trial. My Savior was crucified on the cross. I had thought he was the Messiah. A lot has happened. I can't go to this small church gathering this morning. I've got things to do. I'm going to throw a spiritual fit. And I don't say that in contempt, because I have told you many and many a times, I am one to throw spiritual fits. When something has not gone the way I think God should have planned it to go, I'm going to throw a spiritual little fit. Okay? We don't know. It doesn't tell us why Thomas wasn't there. But he wasn't. He knew he should have been there. Jesus told him where to be, and he's not there. Or he could be going to the market, getting things done for the next day, for the next week. It's a work week. I got some things I need to do. I got some boxes to check off my list. I haven't been with my family all week because some things have happened. I need some me time. I need some self-care. We don't know, but Thomas wasn't there. We can come up with these things, can't we? We're part of a church. We know what we tell ourselves sometimes when we can't come to this small church gathering on Sunday. We have excuses. We know Thomas, because we are Thomas sometimes, aren't we? It's Sunday. The disciples are gathered. Jesus knew it was going to be a hard, difficult time for them. He knew that. They were going to need to be close to one another, intertwining together. Jesus knew that. That's why he said, I need you to gather together, go back to Galilee, go back to that upper room, belong to a church. Notice it was a small church gathering. And one of the most miraculous, marvelous signs and wonders of Jesus happened in this small church gathering that Sunday. Coming to church and being part of a church isn't optional for a believer. And it says in Hebrews 10:24, let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works, not neglecting to gather together as some are in habit of doing, but encourage each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. And when Jesus established the foundation of the church, as we read in Matthew 16, there wasn't a time in Jesus' mind that a person that would call themselves Christian wouldn't be part of the church. It kind of went together. Because that's what we are. Together. And we pointed out that not too long ago, when Jesus comes back, when he returns in glory, all his righteousness, he's coming for his church first. He's coming for those small church gathering people first. Not the individual who has devoted to being the hands and feet of Jesus. Not the individual. Not the individual person that has created the church for themselves. Not the viewer of church. You understand that? A viewer, because you can just be a viewer. The concept, like the redwood tree. We can't survive. We can't thrive without one another. Jesus knew that. And it's his desire. It's his demand. He isn't coming for the viewership of Joyce Meyer. He's not coming for the viewership of Joel Osteen. He's not coming for the viewership of Cornerstone Church or Faith Church. He's coming for the church. And don't get me wrong. I listen to these people. I listen. I love me some Blessing. I love me some Joyce Meyer. I love me some Joel Osteen. I love me some Dr. Tony Evans. Some T.D. Jakes. He gets me. Yes. Hallelujah. But he isn't coming for the viewership of church. He's coming for the ones that are part of his church, a small church gathering. And there's some things that you aren't going to receive and experience if you're only a viewer, if you're only a now and then church individual. When you're not connected with a local church, there are spiritual and divine experiences with Jesus that you are going to miss. There are blessings you are going to miss when you are not part of a small church gathering, when you are not part of Christ's church. Just like Thomas, we are on the road beyond Easter, and Jesus is telling us we need to be in fellowship and relationship with other witnesses, with other disciples. By not staying together, we are never going to be our best. We are never going to be able to utilize the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has given us to our best without the church. He said, gather. He said, go into ministry. When Jesus sent his disciples out, how'd he send them? Two by two. They were never alone. But yet, it was fellowship. It was the teaching. It was the ministry mission with them that was demonstrated. We need one another. The trials and the tribulations of this life, we are not equipped to handle alone. We are not equipped in our humanness to handle this world alone. We're not meant to be here. Our citizenship is not here. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior, you're a citizen of his kingdom of God. I don't want to be here. I don't. It's messy. It's dirty. It's yucky. It makes me feel bad. I want to go. Come, Jesus, come. We're waiting. We've waited so long. Come. Come and get me. You better, if you say that, you better be ready. You better know that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. That's why sometimes I hesitate when I say it. And I ask my family, my loved ones, you accept Jesus, right? You know, right? You know. And they think I'm crazy. That's okay. Keep thinking I'm crazy. They get scared. We need one another. And when we look at that, we think our roots are grounded, right? We should be grounded. We should be stable in God, in his word. But that concept of those roots reaching out, intertwining, knitting together, that is what Christ intended for us. Because I can't withstand the storms of adversity. I can't stand the wind of doubt when it stirs. I can't withstand those storms that are crumbling that makes the earth tremble. I can't stand on my own. And I haven't. I've needed the church. I have needed this small church gathering that when that happens, your roots got stronger around me and you've kept me up. When it would have been, if without it, I would have fallen. I would have fallen down. Thomas wasn't there, so the other disciples were telling him, "We've seen the Lord." They told Thomas, "We don't know how Thomas got back. We don't know if they've went out and they looked for him and they brought him back in, or he just showed up and said, hey." But somehow Thomas comes back, and the disciples, they love Thomas so much. They want him to know, "We've seen the Lord. He's here. He's risen." They don't want Thomas to go without the good news. I read an article in the Smithsonian Magazine, The Hidden Lives of Trees. Trees share water and nourishment through their root networks. They share it. They share nourishment and water to sustain their life through the root system with each other. They're intertwined. They're connected. They're not individual. They share with each other. They send distress signals about drought, about disease, about insect attacks, and other trees alter their behavior when they receive these signals through the roots. How many signals do we receive from one another because our roots are intertwined? When we need to be reminded of the promises of God, when we need to be reminded that the Lord has risen, when we need to be reminded that we are not part of this world, that we are headed to a kingdom bigger than what we are experiencing right now in our time in history, what do? We reach out and we say it to one another. We repeat it. Even though Thomas wasn't there, the disciples cared so much that they reached out. They pulled him back closer and to tell him the good news that Jesus Christ had risen. And that is what makes our root system so good, is that we have each other that cares so much about each other that when one of us has gone astray, we're going to pull you back in. We love you so much. You pick up the phone, you call, you send cards and letters, you send encouraging words. We have a prayer group that prays. We go on visits. We reach out. We bring nourishment and the good news. We care enough about each other that we pray, that we get our hands dirty. We withstand and we dig our heels down in that valley with you. I'm a walking, breathing, talking testimony of that, of this church. And you didn't just let me go when I was wandering, because there's a part of time I wondered. You didn't let me go. You didn't cut me down. You didn't cut me off. You knew I knew better, but you loved me anyway, and you loved me through it. You can't get that when you are a viewer of worship. You can't get that from Joel Osteen. You can't get that from Rod Parsley. You can't get that by being a viewer of church. You can only get that by being a part of a small church gathering, Christ Church. And here's one thing that happens on the road beyond Easter. When the disciples tell Thomas about Jesus coming while he was gone, Thomas said, "If I don't see it, if I don't see the mark of the nails on his hands and put my finger in those marks and my hand in his side, I'll never believe." Our faith church, this spoke to me. They are gathered together. That small church gathering after Easter, the first thing Jesus did was show the disciples that it was truly him. He showed him the nail marks on his hands, his side. Thomas wasn't there. His faith was fractured. He didn't know. He didn't come to church to receive what he needed for that week ahead, the journey after the cross. He thought he was doing things that would help him to prepare for that week. He was checking off things off his list, getting more sleep, getting what he thought he needed. And Jesus knew exactly what Thomas needed. And Thomas wasn't there for it. And in verse 26, it says, a week later. That means it was next Sunday. Do you get that? A week later from Sunday, it was Sunday. Jesus didn't come back to talk to Thomas on Monday. He didn't come back to talk to Thomas on Tuesday or Thursday or Friday. He came back at a small church gathering on a Sunday to give Thomas what he had missed. Jesus waits all week and doesn't come back until next Sunday to tell us that it is where we need to be in order to see healed hands, in order to be able to touch healed hands, in order to put our hand on the side of a healed scar. It's a Sunday at a small church gathering. In order for us to see redeemed lives, in order for us to see resurrected lives, in order for us to see victories from the pits of hell, we need to come to church to see that, to touch it. Because you're sitting in a pew next to a person that has had a redeemed life through Jesus Christ. You're sitting in a pew next to someone that has been redeemed through the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. You need to see it and you need to touch it, because there's going to be a time where you're going to have this tribulation in your life. When you come to the Lord and you say, I've read about it, I know that you can do it, but I need to see it. I've been there. I've said that exact prayer. Lord, I need to see it. I know you can do it. I need to experience it. Let me see it. And we have these testimonies of this church of where God has come, where we've received a miracle, where we've received the restoration, where he has lifted us up out of that pit. You don't just need to hear about it from a cell phone or an iPod. You need to touch it. Hug that person. Be in connection with them. To know that it's real. It was at a small church gathering that Thomas saw what he needed to see, and he said, my God, my Lord, my God, my Lord. During the time in my life where there was some doubt, during the time in my life that there was a storm raging and the wind was pushing, there were times I was walking around wondering, and your roots pulled me in. You touched me. And I saw that. I saw the healings. I saw the miracles. And, you know, and hope can be, what did I think? Hope can feel like a joke. When you need it desperately so much, it can feel like a cruel joke, that hope, because you think it's so far out of my reach. How in the world can God do something with this mess? And then you come to church. And since you were, I don't know how long you've been part of a church. Maybe you haven't, but I grew up in this church. And I heard every Sunday of what God can do. I see it and I feel it. And I think I can't just leave this hope. I can't just walk away from it because it's rooted so deep and it's intertwined in me. I just can't think that it's a cruel joke. I gotta stand up and I gotta dig my heels down and believe that there is a hope in the living, risen Jesus Christ. I saw the living, breathing, walking testimonies of a resurrected Christ, of the saving power of his blood. I saw people praying for me. I saw people praying for the boys. And we do it every Sunday. We have groups that do it every week. We have prayer warriors that do it every day. You can't get that anywhere else than a small church gathering. And that's the point. That's Jesus' point. You are not going to get it anywhere else this side of heaven other than a small church gathering. You're not going to get it in the schools. You're not going to get it in city council. You're not going to get it in the White House. You're not going to get it in church council. You're going to get it in a small church gathering. We get to see on this road beyond Easter, Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, I also send you. And this is our message of reaching out. The Father has sent the Son on a kingdom mission to atone for the sins of the world so that all who believed would receive eternal life. Now the Son sending his small church gathering to do the work of building his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That's our commission, church. Nobody else is going to be able to do what we can do. His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, and make disciples and of all the world. I am sending you when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and receive the power of the Holy Spirit. He doesn't come empty-handed. Guess what, y'all? You got a gift. You have a spiritual gift that is only given to you. We don't have the same gifts. You don't want me up here singing or playing the guitar or the drums. You don't want me doing it. There are specific people God has given those gifts to. And praise God that we have them, that they use them. You have a gift that God has given to you that is specifically to build up this small church gathering. Now, can you use your gift in the secular world to help you with your career? Yes, you can. But guess what? It's not going to be optimal. It's not going to be optimal. It's not going to be for your full potential if it is not for the building up of the kingdom of God as it is in heaven through a small church gathering. It's not. That's the purpose of it. How are you using the spiritual gifts that God has given you? We have some things that we need. Some ministries that we would like to do, that we need to do in order to advance this kingdom of God on heaven through Faith Church. So if you've gotten a little small voice speaking to you when you see a need of this church, and then I find it interesting when people see a need of this congregation that we don't have, and then they leave to go to another congregation that has it. Let me tell you what's wrong. First off, if you notice that we're missing something, God's speaking to you of what you could contribute to it. He's not telling you to leave. You're noticing it to build up. But see, sometimes we're too busy. You know, I've got a lot going on. I want to go to a church that already has it established so I don't have to contribute to it. I don't want to get before God and have that be on my list. I fear that, by the way. I fear getting in front of him and him going through my life and I see it and I'm like, oh, there is something here. And the church that you have your membership to, and the church that you've committed to being a part of, that God has given you a gift to contribute to his building up of the kingdom. We'll talk. Amen. And I am so grateful and thank you to those that do, the praise band, for those that take care of our church. For every day someone's here working on something, you can tell generation after generation after generation of a small church gathering at Faith Church that the disciples' hands have taken care of what God has given them. Amen. So you have an opportunity to serve. He commissioned at a small church gathering to go to do the work that God the Father called me to do. Now I'm sending you to go do it. The Holy Spirit came at that small church gathering. Christ blew upon them the breath of the Holy Spirit. Everything changed after that moment. They were behind a locked door. They were scared. It says they feared the Jews. They were scared for their lives. And then Jesus comes at a small church gathering and he blows upon them the Holy Spirit. And guess what? From that moment on, everything changed. They weren't fearful anymore. They went out and they proclaimed the good news of Jesus Christ. They weren't scared of death anymore. You know how many of those disciples died because of preaching the good news of Jesus Christ? They were hung on a cross upside down. John was boiled in oil. He didn't die, though, because that's how we got the book of Revelation. They were speared to death. They were stoned to death. Were they afraid? No. What made the difference? Jesus came in the presence of a small church gathering and blew in them the breath of the Holy Spirit and sent them on to go do their work. That's the difference. It wasn't individually. It wasn't in your home as you're watching church online. It was in a small church gathering. Amen? Amen. Relationships are built. Christ is present. The Holy Spirit is given to us and we are given a charge. That is the church. We are God's people. And that's the message of the road beyond Easter. It doesn't stop when Christ rose from the dead. It is centuries and centuries of proclaiming the good news, no matter what the trial is. And it was because they did it together. It was because they were intertwined together that strengthened them for that task. Did they have persecution? Absolutely. Absolutely they did. For centuries. But guess what the promise is? The gates of hell will not overpower the small church gathering. That's our promise. And there was rejoicing. When they see the risen Lord, they rejoiced. Do you know there's a difference when you rejoice in a small church gathering? Can't you feel the difference? Now don't get me wrong. I turn on my praise music. I've told you as I'm scrubbing down those countertops, as I'm sweeping up those floors, I'm picking up messes that I shouldn't be picking up. I listen to some praise music. So I'm not complaining. But there's a difference in a small church gathering, isn't there, church, when we are all gathered together on Sunday morning and we hear that praise music and we hear this awesome praise band singing about the Lord and we lift up our songs together. There's a difference. I love it. I can't wait to come to church. That's one of the reasons why I can't wait to come to church, is to be with all of you intertwined, and we are rejoicing and we are praising the Lord together, and we're getting glimpses of what we're going to be doing together in heaven. We're getting glimpses of it. I love that. I can't wait. It's one of the greatest things I'm looking forward to. It's at a small church gathering. We get commissioned. We're intertwined together. The Holy Spirit comes, Jesus is present, and we're rejoicing. What a church. What a gift. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God, that we're able to withstand the trials and tribulations of this world, and we get to do it together. We get to do it with like-minded people that aren't going to judge us, that aren't going to tell us that it's not politically correct to do it. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much. We thank you so much that there is a road beyond Easter. That you gave us this word and that you show us what we are to do. You give us examples of what our lives should be, what our church should be, and how our lives should reflect you. Being part of this church, being part of one another's lives, that it's not just an individual religion, that it's not just individual, but we reach out, we bring people in, and we love them, and that they see you. They see your Son, Jesus Christ, through us, the love that he has, the sacrifice that he made, and we can tell the story, and that we go out, and that we leave this place, and we talk about it, and that we bring them in, that they can see Christ, that they can hear the rejoicing, and we share our lives together in this small church gathering. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all those that have gone before us in this church, in this congregation, this wall of remembrance of all those that had that faith rooted in you, that reached out to us and drew us in, that gave us examples. We can't wait until we get to heaven and rejoice with them. We thank you. And I just pray right now that there is that still small voice in each person here speaking to them about the gifts that you have placed in them to continue the work that you've called us to do, to build up your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. You all call us to do something. It is not individual. We are all called to do the work of you. And we thank you for those hands that do the work right now. We thank you for the workers of your church that prepare the ministry of this church. We thank you so much for them. They need helpers. Send the helpers, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, 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 amen. Greater is he that is within me than within the world. Amen. And as we leave this small church gathering this morning, may you be empowered by the Holy Spirit and the words of Jesus Christ that the Father has sent me, now am I sending you. And you go out and you leave this place and you proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. He is risen. He is risen. We have seen him. And you bind closer to one another in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.